Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. KK and Lo here. Lo, how's it
What
going?
up? What up? I saved it just so you can hear it. We can do it together.
Beautiful sound. I love that
Sorry.
sound.
Another gypsy. Like I said, she got like a six pack.
Ooh.
So I saved one for this week too.
Back by popular demand.
That I'm clearly missing my mouth
Gypsy.
on.
Only I saw, don't worry.
So I'm just gonna get like right into it, okay? Like right into the
into
hot
part two.
topic. No.
Ooh, there's a hot topic.
They not like us. 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 They not like us.
Okay, because the internet is freaking broke over this, okay? And I just have to say, first off, the older demographic, I don't think understood the assignment he was laying out.
No, I don't think so.
And
I don't think
I
they
mean,
did.
if you appreciate Samuel in an Uncle Sam costume, I
He
mean,
killed that. He
right?
literally killed it.
And then our girl Serena, like she's like old school 90 doing the crypt walk or crypt, what is it? I don't know how to do it, but she nailed it. She's looking pretty bomb diggity, right? And then can we just say when Lamar smiled at the TV, like did we not all be like, damn, shots fired, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just iconic, really.
And I know because I've talked to people, and a lot of the older demographic didn't understand it. And one of the ladies I cleaned for today, I love her. She is my homie. She's a 70-year-old woman, Jill. And when we were talking about it, she's like, I watched it the first time. And she's like, I don't understand all of this. She's like, but she's like, I know my generation and how old I am. So I'm like, yeah, we're not gonna get it. She's like, but my kids and my grandkids, she's like, I know they know every word of this of what he's saying. She's like, and they're here for it, you know? And then she's like, then I went back and, looked up like what is going on. And she's like, when I read everything he was doing, she's like, okay. She's like, then I watched it again. And she's like, okay, So I love that for her.
She got it. She just needed a minute and then she caught up.
She's had the, yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm like, Drake, just hang up your microphone because you're done.
Seriously, I'm like, at first I was like, I wonder if he even like watched it or if he was just like, I don't even want to see. But it's like, how could he not watch that?
Which, before I got on here, I just seen a thing that the NFL sent out an official apology for having him on there. And I'm like, first of all, why are we apologizing? Because you don't pay any singer shit to do that show. They do it for
Literally.
exposure. They do it because they just want to be a part of it. Second
Just
of
'cause it's
all,
like such an iconic performance that they're like, we'll do it for free 'cause they're not gonna pay them anyways.
since you're they're saying that the whole world hated it, right? His streams are up 175% since this
I don't
show.
understand like who's hating? Is it just the older people? Like, I don't get it.
Yes, the like probably 50 and up older women and gentlemen that were there for football, because the people that are complaining about it, they're like, oh, bring back the Stones, bring back, some rock and roll, bring back, some. And I'm like, dude, like,
They do like current successful people, like they don't bring back like people who were super successful like years ago.
and like I get it, football is for everybody. Old men who've been watching it for 70 years or whatever, they're there for the football and that's cool. But the Super Bowl, I feel like, is a show, and it like I was would for the halftime show and for the commercials. I mean, I do enjoy watching the games if it's two good teams and it's intense, However, you get people like, okay, for another example of the Super Bowl, poor Taylor, all she wanted to do was watch her man play, and she gets booed, because she's wearing a Chiefs jersey instead of her Eagles jersey when she's from Philly. And it's like, okay, she can support both teams, but she wants her man to win. Like, who wouldn't? And if
right, it's like his team.
And all you guys are bitching like, Taylor, I'm so sick of her. It's not Taylor. Tell the cameraman to stop. Tell the cameraman, okay, she's over there. Let's not point the camera that way. Let's keep it on the field. She's not saying, look at me.
Right. She's not asking to be filmed at. So it's like.
She's not singing. Not her fault. She's not trying to perform at the shows. She's just sitting in a suite with her boyfriend's mom.
Right.
Trying
like,
to watch a show.
She's just like any other girlfriend.
So whether you love Taylor or hate Taylor, that's not fair to Taylor. You know, she's not doing it.
Yeah.
It's I did the NFL feel bad doing that
booed.
But at the same time, these dads need to also realize, like, it might be making your daughter sit next to you, knowing that Taylor's boyfriend's playing and that Taylor is involved. It's bringing your daughter to bond with you and watch football with you. It's bringing your wives to come and sit next to you and watch football with you and be invested where they probably never were before. So right. Maybe take that as a win. The same thing with Kendrick Lamar. I bet you all those 14 or maybe even younger, 12 to, you know, my generation, was probably bopping along, singing, dancing, doing all this. And what are they doing? They're with their parents. They're watching the game. They're into the Super Bowl. They're being present. Like, it. I feel like it's bringing some families together. So, like, look at the bigger picture, you know? And he was fighting for a bigger reason. It wasn't just a rap star up there. His message is like, dudes, hey, let's stop, you know, fiddle fucking around and lock up the, well, you know, Epstein's gone, but, you know, like, let's get these ditties off. Let's get Drake out. Let's get, like, come on, like, let's get a hold clean of all up. These pedophiles. Let's clean up the streets, you know, like.
Let's clean it up, for real.
And, well, Serena, she just did an FU, which I thought was kind of funny.
I loved it. Loved it. You know, and like, she killed it.
You want to come at me while I'm pregnant with my husband and still chirp in my ear? Okay, well, you know, F you. She moved on. Right. You cheated on me. I moved on. Get over it, dude.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And then.
I loved it, though.
My one other little hot take that I'm going to say, like, okay, we see you, is the CMT Music Awards. They canceled their awards ceremony this year. They are not hosting the Country Music Awards. Wow. Because if there is no award show, there's no Beyonce to be nominated at the Country Music Awards. To stop no Jay-Z way. And Beyonce, they stopped the show, period.
Is that like what they said? Did they put a statement out saying that's why? Or is that
we're gonna read between everyone's... the lines, because we have like Lainey Wilson, Stapleton, Aldean, like every country person is speaking out of how livid they are that Beyonce is holding that Grammy. They are, the country people have spoken.
I don't blame them, because that's wild. That's just so wild to me.
Jay-Z can't buy something that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Wow. That makes me sad for everybody who like was looking forward to going and possibly like winning an award or something. But I am glad, because if they were to lose out to Beyonce, it's like so annoying. So probably
for the
best.
Makes me wonder who's voting, because if they're seeing that the people are pissed about the Grammy, then don't give her. It's not the people that vote, I don't think. It's the music industry, isn't it?
I know every award show is different. I'm not sure how CMT does it. So I don't know if it's people voted or if it's whoever is in their like leadership. I don't know who votes for it really, but it's like, yeah, if the people are running it, don't want Beyonce to win, it's like, then why, then don't vote for her. Like, if you don't think she should win, and like, don't take bribes or something.
Well, there's an old clip going around of Eminem, and he said, he was on a talk show, I don't know, I can't remember who, and he said, I'll never go to the Grammys again. And they're like, you won't go to the Grammys? He's like, you couldn't pay me like trillion, zillionth dollar or whatever to go back to a Grammy award. He's because that shit's all rigged. He's like, they have it all figured out. He's like, they say it's what the people want. It's not what the people want. They have it figured out before we even walk up on that stage. He's like, it's all rigged. I mean, hell, this is Beyonce get country album of the year, but not one song was nominated.
Yeah, no, that's, I know that like Ariana Grande doesn't go to like the Grammys either, and I think she's like kind of against it too. I feel like
she
went like,
that one though. I think who, like, she was nominated, weren't they? Wasn't her nominated for Wicked? I think she was there with
no. That would that's the Oscars.
Oh, I thought her soundtrack.
They went to the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't think she went to the Grammys.
Maybe she didn't. Maybe it was the Oscar clips that I seen. But I don't know. Everybody said, but I'm a little confused because everybody said Billie Eilish should have won the award, but she's not country either. So I don't know how, but I guess it's album of the year. Then maybe it was all genres in one. I don't know.
Oh yeah. That one was the one that she lost out to, I think was album of the year, and that's all genres. Okay. But Beyonce won like multiple categories.
Okay.
Which is stupid. Whatever. Stupid.
So those are my two little hot topic rants of the day, the night.
I also have a side note rant too. Not rant, just piece of info. Apparently, the whole, you know, stupid, it ends with us, Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively thing. Apparently now.
I'm so over that.
Did you hear that her and Taylor Swift are feuding now and not friends?
Yes, that's why Blake Lively was not at the Super Bowl. Yes. Because you didn't like that she was blindsided by the meeting, and then Blake Lively called her and Ryan Reynolds her dragons. Yes. And was trying to get Taylor wrapped up in this lawsuit to have her back, and didn't even talk to her about it, just kind of like as if Taylor doesn't get enough heat from the public eye.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I saw that. I also saw rumors, I don't know if they're true, that if this lawsuit goes south, that Ryan's leaving Blake.
Really?
They're saying that divorce rumors are circulating because
I mean, they're probably not in the happiest place right now with everything going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the whole thing is stupid, and I'm tired of seeing it on my Facebook.
Dude, and it's not even like close to being done because I heard that the court date isn't even for until like next year this time or something like that. Like it's like over a year away.
But I am here for it. Simple Favor 2 is coming out in May, I think. So I'm here for that.
Oh, I definitely will be watching that, yes.
But now they're saying that those two are feuding, which I don't even know if it's true, but
I know. I feel like they're just gonna pin her against everyone though.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Craziness. But yeah, that was my one piece of side note that I saw.
Yeah, I can't turn my Facebook on. It's almost like it's not even worth going on because it's either people bitching about Trump, people bitching about Taylor, people bitching about Blake Lively, and people complaining or loving Kendrick Lamar. Although the Kendrick Lamar I'm kind of cracking up at because it's fresh and new, and I'm loving everybody's videos and like everybody's memes. I don't know if it was really Drake or if it was an AI, but it had him like turning the TV off and he walked over to a grave site and put his head in it and someone was about to throw dirt on it, like he was burying his head in the sand. And then like the video of
that'd be funny Drake, if it was an AI.
And then Drake walking on stage with holes in his hoodie and smoke coming out. Like he was just shadowed.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if that was related or if people are just linking concerts. I don't know. But some of the stuff I'm here for, but I'm just like, I'm so tired of everything else. I'm like, can something else good happen that we can talk about for my Facebook? I will say that I thought it was funny. Not that Trump should be on Twitter, but it was kind of funny where he's like, the MAGA is unforgiving. How about Taylor Swift being booed? I'm like, seriously?
I didn't hear that. Because
they're saying she was a Biden supporter.
Right.
And I don't think that was why she was booed. I think it was because people were pissed because her old Taylor would wear the Eagles jersey and sing because she's from Philly. And now she's wearing the other colors and the Eagles fans are unforgiving is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's more likely the explanation, Trump.
That's as far as I'm going with that, because this is not a political podcast and we're not going to go down that road. So,
no, ma'am.
Last week we left off talking about, well, we don't know her name. She is the Lady of the Dunes. And we went over that she was found, how she was found, naked, face down, hands cut off, head bashed in, and nobody can figure out who she is, what her name is, anything about her. If you need to catch up, go back last week and listen, and then turn around and listen to this one. We left off as a suspect would have been a female Rory Jean Kissinger, not to be confused with Rory Gilmore. The only thing Rory Gilmore did was a little bit of adultery, okay, but other than that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
other than that, she was a goody two-shoes.
Yeah, a little too much anyway.
Yeah.
She got arrested for trying to kill a cop, and then she snuck out of jail, and then, like, disappeared and never seen again. So, I mean, straight cred to her. So one of the next theories in this case, which I think is kind of cool for what it is, okay. In 2015, Stephen King's son, Joe Hill, had a theory. He wrote in a blog post that he believed the Lady of the Dunes can be seen alive in an extra in the movie Jaws.
What?
So Joe blogged that, what if this young murdered victim, who no one was able to identify, was actually seen by hundreds of millions of people in a beloved summer classic that they didn't even know who they were looking at? What if the ghost of the Lady of the Dunes haunts Jaws? So I posted a picture of it on our social, and it has it circled with a little, you know, arrow. And it says that, so this woman who looks like the sketches and the composites, she is wearing Wrangler jeans and she has a blue bandana in her hair. But there's a lot of women at that time that dressed exactly like that. It has been said that, you know, this particular woman does bear a shocking resemblance and appearance in wardrobe to the murdered victim. He said, suddenly I tingled all over, came halfway out of my seat for the barest of a moment, and I thought I had seen her. Now, Jaws had been filmed 2 hours away from the crime scene, so really, that's not that far away. And at the time, they never recorded the names of the extras. So, I mean, it's not like they could look back in a record book. But a lot of locals were extras, and they would just show up. They agreed to appear in the final cut. Police are kind of skeptical, but they're not going to say it's not possible. They said, yeah, I mean, a lot of women did dress like that at the time, but the fact is that the woman looked like her, and the blue bandana was a pretty big deal. And if you break it down, like, 2 hours away, I mean, that's not that, at the end of the day, that far, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And if they didn't keep a record of names, it's like, who knows, that literally could have been her. Like, if she was like just around that area, or if someone told her or she heard somewhere that Jaws was going to be filming just 2 hours away, she might have been like, oh, I want to go be an extra for that or whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes people who love movies want to be in it just to be in it. Sometimes people think if they can be an extra, then maybe that's just a stepping stone to get a talking part, to get a talking part leads to a, you know, more. And then pretty soon you're like Julia Roberts, the lead. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously, you never know.
I mean, they all have to start somewhere. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Joe Hill said that he also thought that, you know, part of me thinks that my subconscious mind is so programmed and so trained to quickly generate ghost stories and all that because, well, I'm the son of Stephen King.
I was going to say, I mean, being Stephen King's son probably doesn't help those thoughts.
But Jaws screenwriter Carl, he checked into this production. He looked at his notes and he said the scene number 130 with the extra that they're talking about was filmed May 25th, 1974, 2 months and only 100 miles away from where she was found. She would have been alive 2 months ago. So maybe a struggling actress trying to break in, or like we said, on vacation, timing, was it something fun just to go do?
That would be so crazy if that was her. Like, could you imagine? Like, nobody knows who she is. And then Stephen, of all people, Stephen King's son recognizes her in a as an extra in a scene of an iconic movie like Jaws. Like, that would be so crazy if that was actually her.
I know, right? In 2019, investigators said they were going to re-examine the case, trying to use new techniques. They were going to use DNA analysis and genealogy from the families, and they were going to try to kind of use the same thing that they used for the Golden State Killer case. Like, it's becoming like, first of all, I need to stop saying the word like, but it's becoming valuable and popular for these kinds of cases. I feel like more and more that's how all these old cases are getting solved. Mm-hmm. And then the Cape and the Island DA, Michael O'Keefe, he quoted saying, "We're going to examine everything we can with respect to the remains." And then this part, you're going to like this, KK. A little fun fact for you.
Ooh.
American Horror Story Season 10. It says being filmed. I don't know. I'm guessing probably have already came out. But anyway, it was being filmed in Massachusetts, and it hinted to have the story of the Lady of the Dunes storyline.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
So I have not watched. Do you remember season one, or is that going to be new? I don't know what season
I haven't. I haven't watched the latest season. I might not even watch the latest two seasons. I'm a bit behind. But now this makes me want to watch. I want to see if it's if season 10 is out. I'm not sure if it is. But if it is, I'm 100% watching that. Because, yeah, I am a couple of seasons behind right now. But that would be so sick if they did it on this and it was out already.
It says they have 12 seasons out, so it would have been out already.
Oh, okay. So, see, I am behind. So, yeah. I am going
to watch it. I tried, and maybe I'll have to try it again. I have not got past season one.
Oh, you're real far behind then.
I don't know what it is. Like, it just doesn't grab me.
It's super, like, it's, like, different. It's, like, kind of weird and like random and just
I know, like, but isn't that like what our show is all about?
Yeah, like
aren't we weird and random? So shouldn't it be grabbing me?
Yeah, so you think that you would like it, but like it I feel like it's people either love it or not hate it, but either love it or don't like it at all. So you just might fall into the like not liking it category.
Well, I like the chick. I don't know if she's in all of them and how far she goes, but I like the chick in season one.
Connie Britton, the mom?
Yeah,
or the...
she was in, because I liked her in...
Nashville?
Yes, thank you. See, we finish each other's sandwiches.
I know. Well, I don't mean to even discourage you more from watching it, but she's only in season one.
Okay, we'll see. I know they change it up a lot, and they get a lot of celebrities like Lady Gaga. And
mm-hmm. Her season was good. I liked that one.
So, I don't know. I'll keep trying. But, yeah. So, with that being said, we have a name, people.
Oh, snap. Yes. No way. After that long.
Yes, it was updated. So, I got lucky that my updated was updated before I had to wait for an update.
Perfect.
Obviously, I found the story a lot later in life than other people did, but so this was on NBCnews.com that I got this from. Her name was Ruth Marie Terry. She was 37 years old. She from Tennessee, was identified in October as a woman discovered nude on a beach in Provincetown on July 26, 1974. Terry was identified through investigative genealogy, which obviously it worked. According to the FBI in Boston, investigators said the case was marked the oldest identified homicide victim in Massachusetts history. Authorities said that although identifying her was a major break that helped them draw nearer to the killer, questions remained primarily, why was Terry murdered? Who had she had ties with in Tennessee? Because she had him in Tennessee, she had him in Michigan, she had him in California. And also, obviously, in Massachusetts is where she was killed. So, like, what is her story? What is going on? Since the identification, Massachusetts State Police investigators learned that Terry married a Guy Moldavin. In 1973 or 1974, the Cape Islands District Attorney, Robert J. Galabras, sorry if I butchered that, names is not my strong part. He said in a statement that the couple traveled after their wedding, including stopping in Tennessee to see her family. Police also learned that Guy returned from the trip in the summer of 1974, and he was driving, and it was believed to be her vehicle, and that he had also told people that his wife had died. So, like, okay.
Suspicious.
Yeah. Terry's brother worked with Guy, and he said he tried to find his missing sister, but Guy told him they had a fight during their honeymoon, and he had not heard from his wife again. Now, Guy, he died in 2002, but he was the prime suspect in the disappearance of a previous wife as well and stepdaughter in Seattle in the 1960s.
So he's like a full-on, who's that guy you did the story on and there was like a movie about him? I can't think of his name.
Randy Roth?
Yes, he's literally like freaking Randy Roth, just
the fact that
getting married
that fast.
Literally, he's just like getting married and then like killing them off. Like, what the heck?
I know, right? So, a flyer from the FBI released about Terry's case said that she died from a blow to the head, most likely weeks before her body was found. The left side of her skull had been crushed. No weapon was found at the crime scene. Now, Terry's body was discovered on a beach towel. She lay on half of it. She'd been sharing with a companion, which could have been her husband then, dedicated to her case. The body was exhumed in 2000. Terry's hands, like we said, they were missing, so they could not identify any fingerprints, and her head was nearly severed from her body. The notorious case generated national interest over the years and prompted theories to the brutal slaying. And then it just went on to say, like, you know, she was possibly an extra in Jaws. They had to throw that in there one more time. which was filmed on Martha's Vineyard in 1974. The district attorney expressed his deepest condolences to Terry's family. So there wasn't a whole lot, like, obviously what happened with the marriage, but it sounds like he was pretty much the prime suspect, but he's already dead, so there's not really too much farther they can go.
Man, that's so annoying that he, like, just got to freely live, you know, without being caught before he died. Because it's like he obviously, not obviously, but like if he had something to do with his previous wife and stepdaughter as well, it's like how many people did he do this to? Or, you know, even if he just did it to two of them or even just to Terry, it's like the fact that he never got caught annoys me.
Well, to me, since he killed her, disposed of her like trash, took her car, it pretty much sounds to me like he was a Randy Roth. He was a freeloader, probably bottom feeder piece of shit who was living off all these women. And when he was done with them, he was really done with them, disposed of them like garbage. And I hope he's rotting in hell. And I hope these women actually seen him on the other side. Like, they went to heaven, but he was like, you know what? No. We're going to let you meet in the middle and beat the shit out of them real quick, and then you can come back up.
Yeah, it's like they were able to, like, kick him off of, like, a cliff into hell or something.
There you go.
Gosh, that's so terrible. It's like, people, please remember, like, divorce is an option. You don't have to murder your spouse. Like, I don't understand.
I tell myself that all the time.
See, at least you remind yourself. These people just go crazy and, like,
I'm
do
like,
not
you know, as much
remember.
As I like it, like, orange really isn't my color. I mean, right. Especially once that tan starts fading. It's just gonna make me
look yeah. Crazy. Yep, exactly. You don't want that. Gosh, that's so crazy. I really hope that was her as an extra in Jaws, because how iconic.
I know.
I'm sure they'll probably never know, really, if it was her. I mean, I guess they could, like, talk to her family. You'd think her family would know, you know. You'd think she would tell them, like, I was an extra in Jaws, or, like, I was on the beach when they were filming or something. But I don't know. Who knows?
Well, with no cell phones, I guess it just depends on how off the grid she was for those 2 months.
That's true, yeah. She might not have even talked to any of them, really. That's crazy.
But if her brother was looking for her, it sounds like there was some kind of relationship there.
Yeah, they must have been, like, at least a little bit close for him to be like, I haven't heard from her, so this is not normal. But, gosh, what an asshole. Like you said, I hope he's rotting in hell. Which I'm sure he is.
But word on the street is that Crystal did some digging around too.
Oh yeah. So who is also probably right next to Guy rotting in hell is Mr. Tony Costa, aka Tony Chop Chop Costa. Now, low, if you don't remember, in part one of this episode of Lady of the Dunes, one of the people that they were looking at when they were trying to figure out who killed Terry was Tony Costa. He was a suspect. They did figure out, I mean, obviously now, especially now that Lo gave us the info on the update of everything, but they realized that he was not the one to blame in Terry's death. But he definitely had a history of his own. And yeah, Lo was like, she just sent me his name. And she was like, oh, if you want to, like, look into this. And, like, the name alone sells it. I had no idea anything about him at that point. And I was like, yes, I will look into him. There's not too much info really at all about him. But he definitely did some things. So
we heard
his
a little
full
bit of
name
it with the... Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was gonna say, we heard a little bit of it with Lady of the Dunes, and I'm like, we gotta know who this is.
Yeah, he definitely made a name for himself. He had actually multiple names. So his real name was Antoine Charles Costa, but everybody called him Tony. He also, though, was sometimes called, obviously, Tony Chop Chop Costa. But people also referred to him as the Cape Cod Vampire or the Cape Cod Cannibal. So he had quite the variety of nicknames.
Okay.
Not fun nicknames. I mean, kind of fun, but like really to the core, not, you know, fun.
Right.
So he was born August 2nd, 1944. And yeah, he was a serial killer who was active in and around the town of Truro, Massachusetts. Primarily just for a short amount of time, he really went all crazy during 1968 through 1969. So he was really just going off on a spree that year, apparently. So kind of the crimes that he was involved in, there were dismembered remains of four women that were found in or near a forest clearing where Tony, he actually grew marijuana. So his crimes gained just full-on international media attention when the district attorney falsely alluded to cannibalism. So that was also part of his storyline. That's kind of how he got the cannibal nickname or whatever. So again, some backstory on Tony. He was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, August 2nd, 1944. Like I said, he committed his first violent offense in November of 1961, just when he was 17 years old. He actually broke into a house and attacked the occupant, who was a teenage girl. So that offense that he did, he was charged with burglary and assault, and he was ultimately sentenced to 3 years of probation, and he got 1 year suspended sentence.
I feel like that's kind of late.
I know, yeah. I don't know exactly how. I couldn't find, like, how badly he, like, attacked her. I mean, she didn't die, and I don't know the details and like the specifics of his attack, but I feel like if you're breaking into someone's house to attack them, it's probably not like a light beat. It's probably not like a light little like push. He probably did some damage, I would assume. So Tony actually got married in 1963, and he had three children of his own. The marriage did not last, though. They got divorced, and the reason was over his drug use. He definitely was a drug user, and he left for California in 1966. And in the summer, 2 years later, in 68, he then returned back to Massachusetts, where he decided his next crime would be to steal thousands of dollars of medical equipment. Super random. This is just so random. But yeah, he got caught, obviously. And he did, you know, a little stint, had issues for that as well. So the crazy crime action that he did happened. So on February 8th of 1969... there was a search that was organized for two missing women, Patricia Walsh and Mary Ann Wasaki. Now, this was launched at these woods where Patricia's Volkswagen van had been abandoned. So they started searching in the woods. And during this search, police discovered the remains of someone else, a woman named Susan Perry, who had been missing since literally the previous Labor Day, so September of 1968.
So he was just stacking them.
Yeah. So it's just so crazy that they went into these woods to look for two missing women, and then they ended up finding the body of another woman who had been missing. And yeah, she was not left like in a nice, respectful way. I mean, if you're killing someone, I guess you wouldn't. But yeah, her body had been cut into 8 pieces. So he really, really went to town there. And then it took about a month, but parts, not the whole body, parts of Mary Ann's body were found. And then Patricia's, and then later the rest of Mary Ann's body was found in a forest clearing. So Patricia and Mary Ann had been mutilated with a knife and apparently died of gunshot wounds to the head. So they figured, you know, he shot them in the head and then he cut their body parts off into different pieces. And I think that's why they were like investigating him being a part of the Lady of the Dunes, Patty, I can't remember what you said her last name was, but Patty's crime, because her hands were cut off and like her head was kind of like, you know, dismembered. And this is what Tony was kind of known for. But yeah, so also he found another one beneath the remains of Patricia and Mary Ann. Police then found the dismembered body of Sidney Monson. And also the bodies did show signs of necrophilia, which is just so gross.
Her name was Terry.
Terry. What did I say? Did I say Patty?
Yes, which I didn't want to interrupt you because you were talking, but yes, her name was Terry. Yes, it was Ruth Marie Terry. So, I mean, Patty, Terry, the Y sound, I get it.
My mind kind of like combined the two names. Yeah, definitely said the wrong name. So apologize for that. Thank you for the...
It's okay. I wanted you to get your thought out, and then I was like, but I'm going to let her know before the show's over.
Yeah. You're like, bitch, you said the wrong name.
It's okay. It's all good. It's all good.
But yeah, so I think that's kind of why they were investigating him for that, because he just liked to do that. But yeah, super gross. So thus far, they have found the body parts of like all of these people. Now, police knew that the clearing where the bodies were found was used by Tony. He used it for growing marijuana, which obviously made him their main suspect. And also the fact that Tony knew the 4 women who had all disappeared following his return to the city of Truro. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong, but... yeah, I'm just guessing because I've never heard of the city. But so he knew the women. It was his property. And his fingerprints were on the torn cover of the Volkswagen, like its owner's manual, which was also found in the woods. So it's kind of like, okay, Tony did it. Like, there's no denying it.
He's not that smart.
Yeah, I don't think he was really trying to hide it that much because he made it way too easy for them.
Right.
But yeah, so the case definitely gained, like I said, a lot of international attention because the district attorney, Edmund Dennis, when he was making comments to the media, when he was talking about specifically Patricia Walsh and Ann Wazowski, he said the hearts of each girl had been removed from the bodies and were not in the graves. each body was cut into as many parts as there are joints. And he also claimed that there were tooth marks found on the bodies. So a lot of people, you know, jumped to conclusions and they were like, he's a cannibal. He killed them and then was like eating them because there were tooth marks. But these claims were untrue. But obviously when he said that, because he seemed like a reputable person talking about the crime, because he's like the district attorney, so people believed what he was saying, really. That's why everybody thought he was a cannibal for a minute there until it was proven to be untrue.
I'm still have speculations.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, really? He did a lot of terrible things, so wouldn't surprise me.
Necrophilia in there, right?
Right. So, I mean, cannibalism's just like the next step, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Or maybe it's just right there next to it. They're both terrible. So Tony was considered as a potential suspect in the deaths of 16 women on the west coast of the United States. If you remember, he went to California for some time. This included Bonnie Williams and Diane Fedoroff. They were hitchhikers that he had picked up while crossing the country in 1966. And also his girlfriend he had in San Francisco, Barbara Spalding. So people thought, because they were missing, people thought that he killed them. But it turns out all three women were later found alive. So Tony did not chop them.
The fact that he even had a girlfriend.
I know, yeah.
Like, okay, how did you imagine to like not be chop?
I know, but I wonder, like, I mean, because he obviously didn't kill his like ex-wife either. So I'm curious, because he knew the other women. So I'm like, what made him want to kill them and not like other people? But whoever, I mean, who knows, really, the mind of crazy people. So yeah, on June 12th of that year, 69, Tony was arraigned on charges of murder for three of the deaths. In May 1970, he was then ultimately convicted for the murders of Wysocki and Walsh and sentenced to life in prison at the Massachusetts Walpole Correctional Institution. And then just 4 years later, in 1974, Tony died from an apparent suicide by hanging in his cell. Although people kind of questioned this later as a possible murder, they weren't 100% sure if he actually committed suicide or if he was murdered and it was just left to look like suicide. But either way, he died in May of 1974. He also was working on like an unpublished novel. He just wanted to like write a book about everything, and he described the murders of both Walsh and Wysocki while he was in prison. He was writing this. It was called Resurrection, was the title he gave it. And yeah, for real. In his account, he says that he and a friend, who he identified by the pseudonym Carl, were consuming LSD and I don't even know what this is. You know what this is? Diluadid?
No, I don't.
It's a type of drug, but yeah, they had LSD and this. And he says they... yeah, I've never heard of this, so I'm not sure exactly, but I know it is a type of drug. But he says they were doing both of those with the two women. He says Carl supposedly then shot both Walsh and Wysocki, and Tony claimed he was able to subdue his friend, and upon realizing that Wysocki was still alive, he then used a knife to quote end her suffering. According to Tony, he and Carl then decided to bury the bodies. The novel also describes the deaths of Susan Perry and Sidney Monzon as being due to drug overdoses. So Tony claims that it was Carl who dismembered and buried their bodies and that he had no knowledge of it until after their deaths. But I'm like, where's this Carl guy and why did you not like call him out in your like trial or something? You know what I mean? Like, why? I feel like he was just shifting blame.
Oh, well, yeah. So Dilaudid is a narcotic, prescription required. It's not as strong as oxycodone. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's higher than oxycodone. Okay. You know, side effects, flushing, vomiting, constipation, dysphoric mood, mood changes, nausea. I mean, all the fun things why you'd want to get addicted to taking it, you know?
What? Why would you not want to take that?
But basically, yeah, it's kind of like a painkiller. Again, you have to get a prescription, but it's probably a drug of choice for addicts.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe that part's true. Like maybe they were doing, because he knew them. So maybe they were like doing drugs together and then they like overdosed or he went crazy on the drugs and killed them. Like who knows? I'm sure there were drugs involved somehow, but I don't really know if I believe this whole Carl character that he's claiming.
Hence the word but, character.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, is he a figment of your imagination or what happened? But yeah, that's pretty much Tony Chop Chop's deal. He had a crazy year that year. I don't know what was going on with him, but he decided to take out
quite a few people. It was LSD and Dilaudid.
Mm-hmm, that's what did it in.
Maybe
did
he it in for him. Stuck on an acid trip and just killed everyone in his path.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad, literally, what like doing those freaking crazy drugs will do to you. Like, if he didn't do those, maybe he never would have like killed anybody. Maybe he would have never felt even the urge to kill anybody. And it's like he could have just like lived out a normal life. But
this is your PSA, people. Don't do drugs.
Yeah. Especially not like really hardcore ones. Like what?
Just say no.
Yeah. That's the lesson of today. But yeah, he never did finish his novel.
Crystal's like, should we finish it? I mean,
yeah. If he was making shit up, we could just add to it.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe there is a Carl out there somewhere and he read it and was like, damn, he's about to rat me out.
Maybe. He's like, I'm out. Peace out.
Right.
Just going to disappear.
Carl's just still free out there.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that was
thank you
Tony
for
Chop Chop.
Looking up the Tony Chop Chop. Letting all of us know who he was and how he could have been a part of the story.
Well, yeah, of course. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. You literally said, I didn't even finish reading the one text you sent me. I just read his name and I was like, I'm interested because of his name.
As like, you'll hear it on the story today. There's going to be spoilers. There's going to be stuff, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely was. He went out really crazy. I'll say that.
It wasn't the dancing that you thought.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I just listened to our story and I giggled again when I heard you like, that's not what I thought. I thought, I don't know how you got to dancing, but.
Because my brain is weird. That's why.
And then I laughed again where you said Fountain of Youth and I said Taxidermy.
We were on two different pages.
Way two different spectrums.
Like complete opposites.
Which I told my husband about and I'm not sure where he landed on that, if he's signing off or not. So
I would probably need his approval, you know, because like
he'd probably be like, she's been a pain in the ass while she's alive. Just fucking take her. Like, seriously, I'm done.
I'll let him come visit you, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I doubt it. He's going to be like on retirement mode. He's like, I'm done with that bitch.
No. That was so funny. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, then you clearly didn't listen to part one. So it was pretty funny. So you should.
My mind went a little morbid. Funny, but morbid.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely morbid, but
just funny. Thinking outside the box. I mean, literally.
Yeah, you literally were.
Well,
thank you, Lo, for telling us this two-parter. I love your two-parters. And I'm glad that this one was freaking solved. I didn't think that's where it was headed.
But so weird. I had the, like, so we told a story, okay? And then I had a ding, ding, ding the next day because I am listening to, I don't even think it's on anymore, but I'm so far behind in life. It's called Drama Queens, and it's a podcast. And it's the three main ladies from One Tree Hill. So I'm going back, and they're talking about behind the scenes of One Tree Hill because I'm like obsessed and KK needs to get her ass on HBO and watch it. And, or Max now, sorry. And then they're interviewing different co-stars and talking about it. And it's really fun to listen to. Well, one of their ads popped up for Provincetown, Massachusetts. I'm like, are you kidding me? And they're calling it P-Town. I'm like, I never even knew this place existed until I started doing the research. And now I'm hearing ads for it and another podcast. That's not even a crime podcast. It's a teen drama.
I'm literally, like, yeah, you texted me and I'm like, I swear, Lo gets all the ding, ding, dings all the time.
It's so weird.
You do. You get them, like, that one's, like, super weird, too, because it's just so specific, and it's just, like, a specific location that, like, you just wouldn't, like, expect to hear it on, like, that podcast. And you said it was for an ad, so it's, like, even weirder.
So I keep hearing it over and over again. And a small ding, 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 not major, but my son went to Winterfest over the weekend and his girlfriend had Jaws earrings on, little sharks.
Oh,
so not a big one, but a little entwined in there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, definitely.
And I keep having those weird face dreams again.
No.
This one is so weird though, because I'm not really making out a face. It's just almost like a, I don't know if it's like a weapon or like an umbrella or like something, and it's red, white, and blue. And it's kind of striped, and it comes flying at my face. And then as it gets close, I catch my breath and open my eyes.
Hmm.
I have no idea.
What did you say it looks like?
It's red, white, and blue. And it's almost like a closed umbrella.
Okay.
Or like, I don't know, something that's like, it's not really a face. It's something that's charging at my face. I don't know if someone's behind it, but then I wake up like before it hits me.
You've had it more than once?
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird. What does that mean?
I don't know, but you know I randomly get those where, like, the faces come up to me and then I wake up.
Yeah, those are – Lowe's talked about those on the show before if you haven't heard, but maybe it's scary.
Ruth saying thank you for telling my story, or maybe it's her husband saying, shut the fuck up. I don't know. But I don't like it.
Yeah, you're like, okay, the story's over now. We can just stop with the dreams.
Tomorrow might be a good day to sage.
Yeah. Yeah, you get weird, weird dreams. I had a dream this morning that a man was, like, hoisting down from a rope from, like, a vent in my ceiling. I don't think there's meaning to that. I think I'm just someone with anxiety.
Maybe. Who can explain things these days?
Yeah, who knows?
But I was going to say, so this is off topic, but not off topic because it kind of, it's on brand. But like before you even had your cat or your dog, okay, like take it back to when you were living with your parents. And I know Brooke slept with you, but let's just say he didn't, okay, for some nights.
Or like Are you just meaning like I'm alone?
Yeah. Or like in your apartment before you met.
Yeah. Because okay. I was in my apartment before and I didn't have any pets. It was just okay. me.
Do you ever have weird dreams or like feeling, it's not even a dream, like you'll be laying there and it'll feel like there's like a cat or a dog or someone like making a little pile on the bed and then, but there's nobody there with you?
I don't think so. Like I can imagine what you're talking
about. Or like you feel something on your bed, almost like a little twitch or kind of like a little shake of the bed, but it's just you laying in bed.
I've had that where like it's just me and it felt like a little like jolt or something. Like I'm not moving. And it would just be like this.
Yeah. And it's almost like if a cat would have bumped your leg or like if a dog was, you know, like picture if Brooks was rolling over on the foot of your bed or something.
Maybe I never imagined it as like an animal, like, okay. because I never like felt anything like against like me or like touching me. It just felt like the whole, like, I would describe it as like a 2 second earthquake.
We're like kind of yeah okay so I'm like not crazy that that happens like that. Sometimes
no because that has happened to me too. I have no idea what it means.
I don't
either. Or like if it's just my bed like shift. I don't know why my bed would just randomly shift because I wasn't moving, but it would definitely do that. Even when I was at my parents' house and the dog wasn't laying with me, that would happen. Like not often, but it did happen. So I don't really know what that means.
Random bed shake. I'm going to write that down because it happened like last week or whatever. And then I'm thinking it was the animals, but my daughter was home. So she had both dogs with her. So I was in bed by myself. Husband was out of town. And then I wanted to bring it up and I keep forgetting. And now that we're talking about weird stuff at night, it triggered me to talk about it. But I was like, that used to happen like even before we got Phoebe, like once in a while I would feel that, you know? So I'm like, what the hell is that? Is it like ghost animals? Like,
yeah, I never even thought about it being like animal. I literally would think like, is this like a ghost like shaking my bed? Or like is my bed adjusting? Too, like, or like did the ground just shake? Or like, what is that? Cause it like barely ever happened, but it did happen like a handful of times to where I like know what you're talking about.
Okay, so I'm not 100% cray-cray on that.
No, I'm with you on that because that's definitely happened to me.
And right, I don't understand what it is. If that happens to you and or you have an explanation for it, let us know. Do you get like random bed shakes and like what are they? Because
it can't just be us. Like it has to be. Like I feel like more people have had to experience that.
Like let us know. Or like do you have any kind of random sleep dreams or any kind of phenomenon things? Is that the right word? I don't
know.
But like anything that you wake up and kind of like, what the hell was that? Like, let us know because I feel like I get all kinds of random crap happening to me and I'd like to know. Am I like crazy? Is it because we're doing the show? Are we stirring shit up? I got my crystal light. I got my stones and crystal. I do the protection, people. I do the protection.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be to do with, like, your dreams or something. But, I mean, I will say, like, the bed shake things happened before we ever, like, had, like, talked about stories and stuff. So, I don't know what that means. But that is interesting. I'm like, do I want to know what it means? If it's really scary, if you look it up and it's like really terrifying, like just don't tell me. Just be like, I didn't find anything about it because otherwise I'll be scared.
Oh my gosh.
Or just tell me to not listen to the part of the show and I'll just like mute my earbuds when you tell the audience and I'll just make sure not to listen to it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well. So if you have any freaky deaky scary shit, email us. Let us know. I'd like to know.
Me too.
So, but, well, I guess there's nothing really left to say. Except for, well, we got to go.
And stay creepy.
And don't listen to Drake, I guess.
And don't do drugs. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
They not like us. They not like us. Once upon a time,
Bye.
Bye.